is another dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as Star Trek and as timeless as Doctor Who. It is the middle ground between admirer and addict, between television and movies, and it lies between the pit of man's collectibles and the summit of his comic stash. This is the dimension of idolization. It is an area which we call the Dorkgasm Podcast.
Hey, and welcome to the Big Dorkgasm Podcast, brought to you by the letter C, the most useless letter of the entire alphabet.
Why is C the most useless?
Because it does most unnecessary, because it does the work of K and S. We've already got those letters. We don't need a C.
Why wouldn't you say K is?
Because K's got its job. It does the hard k sound, and the S does the sound. C, we don't need one that does both.
Ow.
It's much more straightforward. You just have the K and the S and get rid of the C. I'm all in favor of streamlining the alphabet. Just get rid of the worthless letters that we don't need.
Is this your platform when you're running for president in 2020?
Yes.
Streamline the American alphabet.
Yes.
I think you'll find quite a lot of Americans.
And actually, a little bit hypocritically, I also want to introduce the English spellings of things. So I want extra U's in all the words. I want fewer letters, but more U's in the words. So.
And do you want to switch the E and R, like in theater?
I want those to be just however you're feeling that day. Either one is acceptable. So.
Okay, so that's the one you're kind of loosey-goosey. I'm just trying to understand this entire platform we'll be running on.
Man, whatever makes you happy. It's a mostly free country.
Alrighty then.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm down for this.
All right, yeah.
I will vote for Rob in 2020, and you should too. Why vote for the lesser evils?
Yeah, that's right. I will be so full-on corrupt.
But honest about it, and that's what we care about.
Oh, man, so corrupt.
The most corrupt. That you've ever
seen. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Just
you've never
so
seen anybody corrupt. As corrupt as him.
Nope. So, all right. That was Crispy.
Hello.
Our longtime co-host, Crispy.
Yes. A sick Crispy, but I got coffee.
Our web lackey.
Yeah. I've been busy.
Recording lackey and
posting lackey.
Talent booking lackey. And yeah. Man, so many hats.
I have many hat.
Yeah. And speaking of talent booking, he got I'm trying to remember what name I'm supposed to use now. You got me confused. Rocker Angel?
That is correct.
Is that good?
The Rocker Angel.
It works.
At that.
A lot of people forget about the word the being in my Twitch name. They just go with the other two. I'm like, it works. I'm fine. We're good.
Well, it's just like the Dorkgasm Podcast, right? Like some people say Dorkgasm Podcast, but I prefer the because we're the one, the best one. So you gotta have that the in front or the.
Actually, you know what? That conversation just made me think of another plank for my platform.
Oh.
We need to standardize the pronunciation of the word T-H-E. Is it the or is it the? And I'm going to like put that into law. So. I don't know which
What's
way
your
I'm
preference?
Going.
You don't have right a now? Preference.
Whatever makes you happy, Rob.
Exactly.
Just go
however,
with that.
I am going to let people say envelope or envelope, whichever one they want. I don't give a shit.
No. Oh. What about the very? I mean, it's very controversial, but the big tomato versus tomato. Controversy.
Actually, if we catch anybody saying tomato, they will be shot. Immediately, no trial, just shot dead in the street.
Oh, not shot with tomatoes?
So, no. Shot in the head.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty severe, all things considered.
Don't tell Monocle that one.
I'm trying to get like the hard right votes there, along with, a lot of my more liberal ideas. So I kind of got to grab all the votes I can. So
go for the extremes, you know.
Yeah,
whatever you feel like, and capital punishment. Yeah. So on this platform. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
And I might institute the purge. We'll see.
Mm. Oh God! No, no.
Listen, it seems to work in the movies. So
yeah,
Hey, listen.
If it didn't work, they wouldn't keep making the movie.
That's right.
And the TV show. All right.
And I'm just here for the ride. That's it.
What are we talking about today?
Oh, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? I've got some stuff lined up.
Okay.
Some fancy things.
Yeah, I've got a few notes. I took some notes today.
Oh.
Crispy being all fancy schmancy.
I tried.
Excuse us.
Let's see.
Us poor schmucks didn't do much.
This isn't really traditional dorkasm material, but so I went and saw Soul Asylum last week, which was pretty fantastic.
Oh, I was like, Soul Asylum, the band.
They're still around?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's only one original band member left. The bass player died several years ago. Then the lead guitar player just decided that he just wanted to not be touring and shit anymore. So,
who was left? Just the original lead singer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
And he wrote all the songs anyway. So,
wow.
Saw them at the Hard Rock Hotel in Orlando. They've got this concert series they call the Velvet Session. So basically, there's this like stage in the lobby of the hotel, and the small.
You're cutting out.
Painfully loud. That was weird.
Yeah, you went all robotic for a hot second.
Yeah, everything sounded robotic. Yeah, so I thought maybe I was having flashbacks to the concert where I couldn't hear anything.
Soul Asylum, I think, is here to censor your bad review of the sound system. I don't know.
I just absolutely loved Soul Asylum, and I hadn't seen them for like 20 years, so I was just super excited about the chance to see him again. But the reason I'm telling the story is because there was this woman next to me. We actually started out like right up by the stage. And, so I was like 5 feet away from the singer, and it was so loud that we kept retreating back during the show until we're about halfway across the room. And, there was this woman, I guess in her 40s. I assume everybody's older than me, but I know that can't possibly be true anymore. And she kept trying to get me to dance. And I kept telling, because she thought that I didn't look excited enough. And I get that a lot.
Well.
Yeah. Crispy knows. I do not have the most emotive face in the world.
It's the same when he's asleep or awake, basically.
Yeah. I told her, I'm like, this is me excited. You should see me when I'm fucking bored.
So basically, Rob, your face is the same as Bill Belichick's of the Patriots. Never changes.
I would not know.
No, Belichick's face never changes. So you basically have a constant resting bitch face, more or less.
Yes. Yeah, I've actually had people at a tangential story at an art fair that my wife and I went to. She went into one of the little tents to look at something. I was just standing outside, and this woman comes up to me and says, "Why are you so angry?" And I wasn't. I was having a very nice day.
I was like, "I'm quite happy, thank you."
And I'm like, "Well, I wasn't." And I'm like, "If you think somebody's that angry, why would you go up and like antagonize them further?"
Exactly. But, that's so stupid.
Yeah. But so this woman kept trying to get me to dance, and I'm, you know, kept telling her no, and she would disappear into the crowd and dance, and then make her way back. And at one point she grabs my arms and starts like making me dance. Well, at least the top half of my body. My feet are not goddamn moving.
Okay, that's crossing line.
Okay,
Personal space. No.
No touching.
I did not consent. But my wife by, she like looks over, she's like, what the fuck? I'm like, I know. I don't know what this is all about.
What's your wife dancing?
Not really.
Just a little bit of shuffling, like white person shuffling.
Back well, I mean, like
the white girl shuffle.
I don't know. At least for my way of thinking, like soul asylum music for the most part is not really like dance music.
Yeah, they're really not.
It was more like headbanging and like slam.
That's dancing. What I was saying. It's more hopping, yeah, than dancing.
Yeah, but this woman was definitely having a go of it, and yeah. So that was very sad.
And that
I had a great time, and unfortunately, I'd forgotten. I almost missed. I had tickets for Penn and Teller in Orlando also. And almost missed that because I thought it was later in the month and completely forgot about it. Except we were walking by the Hard Rock venue, not the hotel, where they were going to be performing. It was advertised. I'm like, oh, shit. Now we have to be back here in two goddamn days. Yay.
How far is it from your house?
Depending on traffic, because there's...
Because I get the concert traffic afterwards. I mean, I would imagine there'd be a lot for Soul Asylum, but Penn and Teller. Yeah, I mean,
it was at City Walk, which is where Universal.
Oh, okay.
The Universal Resort. So there's always traffic there, but I don't know. It takes us anywhere from an hour and a half to 2.5 hours to get there, depending on if there's multiple accidents or not. On a good day, we can get there and. You know, like an hour and 15 minutes, but
overall you enjoyed the experience.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. Except for, you know, being assaulted,
being made to dance and be happy.
Yeah. But yeah. No, it was a fantastic time.
Rob is the victim of the, you should smile more.
Yeah. Yeah. That was exactly. I told my wife that whenever I was like, I got the old, you'd look pretty if you smiled
more.
Now I know how Brie Larson feels. So,
yeah, when I think of you, my thoughts immediately go to Brie Larson.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Really, I don't know why. But yeah.
Both. So. Speaking of which, that comes out next month, right?
Yes, March 8th.
Captain Marvel. Yeah, I actually had to look up because I wasn't sure the exact order of the movies when the Spider-Man trailer came out. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, is it too late to spoil Infinity Wars? I don't know. I'm not going to say too much, but given what
don't spoil it.
Well, what happened in the first, you know, in Infinity Wars, and then there's a Spider-Man movie. I mean, I'm a comic book fan, so I know what happens, but like, it's like, okay. I assume that's going to happen after the next Infinity War movie, but when is Captain Marvel? It has to be before the Infinity movie because
so yeah, Captain Marvel takes place in the 90s.
Yes, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's like our Star Trek 4. When they go back to the old decade of the 80s.
And I just want to point out that if you've gone this long and haven't found out about the ending of Infinity War, then you are fucking amazing. I don't know how you did it. And if you're listening to this, then you're especially amazing because you're on the internet and still don't fucking know. So, wow.
Yeah. So Captain Marvel is next month and then Infinity War is April, I believe. And then Spider-Man's June. So,
wow.
Yep. So they're fitting them in there. And then they're talking about Gambit this year, but I haven't heard anything about a Gambit movie.
Everything I hear about Gambit is they're making it. Oh, no, there's a big delay. Hey, we're making it again. Oh, no, not yet.
Not yet. So I was like, I actually had a timeline for this year for what they had exactly for Marvel movies. I know that was the first half of the year. And then they had, New Mutants in August, which I don't think technically that's not us.
No, that's yeah, that's a Fox movie.
Yeah. And that July 4th weekend is Spider-Man Far From Home. That's July 5th.
Yeah, New Mutants was supposed to be out last year, but they had to do reshoots because I guess it sucked.
Yeah. Well, isn't it like a horror thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a more like a horror film. It's rated R. And then X-Men Dark Phoenix, which also again is Fox. That'll be in June.
Yeah.
And then maybe that is all that there is this year. I thought there would be more at the end of the year.
I kind of like the Fox X-Men movies just because it's interesting to see how batshit crazy they go.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Like let's just have characters with the same names and sometimes the same powers, but that's the only resemblance to them in the comic books. Like, we'll have Storm be hanging out with the bad guys and Psylocke's a bad guy. Like, fuck it, why not?
Let's just go with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest, I enjoyed Apocalypse.
Oh, it was fine. It was just completely unrelated to the comic book X-Men in any fashion. But no, I enjoyed watching it too.
Yeah, I mean, he's not.
It's just insane.
He's not the best villain. I mean, people love to talk up Apocalypse, but he's kind of lame because, you know, it's like all powerful and he still can't win.
Yeah, he's not just all powerful. He's had millennia to figure out his plan, and he still can't bullshit off.
So. Right? Yeah. Exactly. Like, he's supposed to be smart and all powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, and he still loses. And it's always the same plan: taking over the world and killing all the humans. I mean, what are you gonna do? But I'm looking forward to the Dark Phoenix. I'm sure it'll be nothing like the comics whatsoever. But I like that they're doing the younger X-Men. I think that's the key. And look at this segue. Speaking of Marvel, have you finished up Punisher yet or no?
No, I'm actually, I think I've got like maybe one or two episodes left. I think I mentioned before when we were playing games one night that like Netflix didn't advertise it at all. Like, even if you launch Netflix, you know, normally they've got the banner up top saying what the new, you know, whatever their new release is. And I had to go down through several columns of, you know, new, popular, whatever, that kind of shit until I finally found The Punisher. So,
yeah, the same with me. Like, I had no idea it was out and I was just scrolling through stuff. I'm like, oh, Punisher's out. When did that happen? And it seems like they haven't been doing a lot of those just out banners recently. I think they've been trying to kind of revamp their the way that they show their content. I don't know. I've been finding it more difficult to actually just find regular movies to watch on there, unless you actually go to the actual movie part of it. Like,
yeah,
the way they categorize stuff now, they got like 50 different categories and none of them are what I'm interested in and how it being organized at all whatsoever. But I really like this season of Punisher.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Too bad it's going to be the last.
Yeah, well, it's like the last Marvel thing. It'll be on Netflix, yeah.
No, there's Jessica Jones has another season.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah.
Really? They're going to do a season 3? I had heard season 2 wasn't all that.
It was not as good as the first one, but it was better than the first season of Iron Fist.
Ouch.
So I mean, it was good.
I didn't see all of Iron Fist. I just kind of like lost interest in that. And
the
second season was good.
Yeah. Actually the second season of Luke Cage was like the ending set up what would have been a really cool third season where basically Luke Cage was the crime boss of Harlem. And then the end of the second season of Iron Fist, Danny Rand gave up the Iron Fist power to I completely blank on her name. She's going to play Mulan in the live action movie, and so she's the new Iron Fist while he's off wandering the planet looking for something.
Colleen Wing.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. And like the last scene of the show, it's him and what's his name? Ward? The guy's name? In some bar in like fucking Thailand or something. And he pulls out these like revolvers and shoots and they glow
with like the, spirit,
you know, the Iron Fist. Yeah, yeah. And like, fuck, I want to see the third season of that.
It's nope. Like they knew that they were ending and wouldn't be back. So they're like, you know what? We're just going to go just crazy twist at the end for all these shows.
That would have gone on to a really potentially really cool third season.
I thought so. Yeah.
Then Daredevil, that last season, that was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they
don't know.
They did a real good job. They kind of picked it back up. It kind of languished there. They kind of rested on their laurels and then.
Yeah,
like they realized with the first season of Iron Fist was like the least watched show or whatever. Like the ratings weren't terribly great for it. That we need to fix this up because they had a completely different showrunner for Iron Fist the second season. But yeah, no, the Punisher's been really good. I like what they did with his friend Billy. He's very. They're very character driven and you're very sympathetic to even mm-hmm. what you would consider the bad guys or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like Billy not remembering anything and still thinking, you know, he and Frank and Curtis are all brothers still in the armed forces. And then you've got Pilgrim who, you know, had a, you know, was kind of a shit person, but then like, you know, had, you know, turned to God, redeemed himself, and was being, you know, manipulated into doing really bad things. And yeah, so yeah, I think you'll enjoy the last couple episodes.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. And actually, the guy that plays the Punisher,
John Barenthal.
Yeah, there you go. I want him to be the lead in the upcoming Remo Williams movie, like so badly.
He would be a good Remo Williams.
he would.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I want that so much. And I believe you may know that I am just a huge fan of both the Remo Williams movie and the series of books that it was based on.
Of course. Yeah. That's why your kid is named Remo.
That is exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to ask, like, how did Remo get his name? Now we know.
That, yes.
Oh, that's cool.
At least on air, he's Remo. speaking of Netflix, you had mentioned Kimmy Schmidt?
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. That came out, I think, January 25th. It was the second half of the last season. I really hate whenever they split up like. It doesn't make any sense, but yeah. So it's like the last half of the thing. So that show's also really, really fantastic.
I've never caught it. I never.
It's,
I've heard it was really good, but I didn't.
Yeah. It's. I mean, Tina Fey created it and wrote a lot of it, and it's like all. You know, did you like 30 Rock?
Yes. Oh yeah.
So like all the really weird shit from 30 Rock, like. This is like that.
Okay.
So like the really bizarre stuff. So, yeah.
So it's more like a bizarre kind of thing then.
Yeah. It's just that. Well, I mean, yeah. So like John Hamm is a cult leader that kidnapped these women and made them live in a bunker. So, I mean that, right. That sets up everything you need to know. The tone of that show.
I'll have to check it out. It's like one of those ones that I want to watch. That and the Marvelous Maisie.
Oh yeah,
something. That one's on Prime, I think. But
yeah,
That's just one. There's so many shows. They come out so fast, and like you said, you don't even know what's new anymore because there's so much new stuff. I don't even think they can probably keep a banner up for a day before the next new show comes up.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Maybe. Actually, before I forget, for Kimmy Schmidt, they did one whole episode based on John Hamm's cult leader that was done just like a Netflix true crime documentary. So that was also really fantastic and worth watching.
I'm looking what I'm looking forward to, actually, is the I haven't watched the Ted Bundy tapes.
I
did watch the trailer, but someone who watched it said it was kind of boring, actually, which is kind of surprising because it's not the crazy, crazy, wackity-doo Charles Manson. It's like, or Ted Bundy. It's the.
There was one day where I was just reading a lot about Ted Bundy, and that seriously like ruined my entire day. Like he was just such a terrible, like that. That doesn't even begin to cover it. Like terrible. It just. Yeah.
Well, the Zac Efron is going to be portraying him in another another movie.
Yeah, that's
and he looks
so weird.
Insanely similar in the trailer.
But yeah, I don't know. I kind of want to watch that Ted Bundy show, but I kind of don't really care just because of the fact that it's basically tapes of him talking about shit and he's just nonstop lying all the time. Like nothing he says can ever be trusted. So it's not like you're going to learn anything because everything he says is a lie. So it's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
I guess there's some controversy because they're saying that Zac Efron is too good looking and that it's kind of, it's like romanticizing Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
A little bit. And
that is a good point.
But then there are other people that say it's not filmed or, you know, meant to be that way. Like that's not what the film is about. So it's like one of those things. I think people are either going to like it or hate it. Like it's going to be very polarizing either way.
Yeah.
I mean, I love true crime stuff, so I can't help it. It's that dark human curiosity that gets me every time.
Yeah. But I think like kind of the myth of Ted Bundy got built up so much. Like he wasn't like some like super hot master seducer. Like he tricked women by like wearing a cast and played off a pity. It wasn't like he seduced them. They felt sorry for him.
Yeah, but he was charming. And he was relatively good looking, you know,
that's the thing. He was he wasn't ugly, but he's no Mark Harmon who played him in that miniseries on NBC back in the day. Certainly no Zac Efron who is dreamy.
let's just admit he is.
I mean, yeah. I'm very straight, but Zac Efron is dreamy.
Honestly, I'd let him spoon me.
Zac Efron does nothing for me.
Yeah, you know, my wife, she's weird too because she.
We're not weird. We just have better taste in men.
I don't know. There's all sorts of guys. Like, she doesn't think John Hamm is attractive.
Okay, she's wrong because
she's fucking weird. I forget. There was somebody else too where, like, she's like, yeah, I don't get why people think he's hot. I'm like, what?
What about Chris Evans? Yeah.
Oh, God, yes.
No. I don't know what her opinion is. She doesn't typically like blonde
guys. No, not Hemsworth. Evans. Captain America.
Evans is blondish.
He's brown, I thought. I thought he just had regular brown hair.
And well, Evans is also a Massachusetts native, just throwing that out there.
I don't know. It, like,
well, that Steve just Rogers charges case, blonde. Rocker. What are you talking
anyway,
about?
Anyway.
Hey, you know, I think Moten Evans, that's all.
I think she would probably go for Chris Pratt, but Chris Pratt on Parks and Recreation, not like super ripped Chris Pratt.
Some kind of doughy Chris Pratt. Doughy Chris Pratt.
Doughy.
Yeah. Yeah, doughy.
Soft around the edges, Chris Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to say, Chris, there are a lot of good looking Chris's out there. It's a good name. And
Gee, we're and Chris, what are you insinuating? Just saying.
Yeah. I don't know that Chris's are the best. That's pretty much.
Yeah, except their name starts with that goddamn C, so they're the worst.
Mine doesn't. It's a crispy with a K.
All right. Well, that's acceptable.
That's a K. Yeah, so that's okay.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
What about you, Rocker? Any shows you've been watching?
No, because I work too much.
You work too much.
I work.
Well, let me tell you about this show then called The Passage.
Josh.
Called The Passage on Fox. It's based on a book series. And
I'm sorry.
Nope, you go ahead. Yeah.
I just had a question. That's okay. I see the preview. Okay. Yep. That's the show I thought it was. I haven't watched it
Yeah, it's actually, I was hesitant about it because it's Fox, for one thing. But I like the direction they took, because if you're not aware of the series, it takes place in present day in like the first third of the book. And then all hell breaks loose and it moves, you know, like over 100 years in the future. They're very focused so far on the season, on the current day. And if you don't know what it's about, it's basically vampires. And it's funny, they make fun of it, to saying, why don't you just call them vampires? And they're like, because vampires don't exist. So there's an outbreak in Asia, and they're trying to find a way. It's supposed to hit America in 60 days, and they've had this secret kind of experimental location they've been working on with this gene that they found, I think, in South America or whatever, from this old, the guy was like some 200 something years old. And I won't get into the whole story and the spoilers, but basically they need a child, because they've determined that's the only way they won't turn. Well, they won't turn. And they've been using prison in deathmates, basically, and convincing them to undergo the, instead of going, you know, dying, we can take you out of here and to make you immortal or whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, that sounds better than dying. Very illegal, totally better. Black government, hush, hush. But when it comes to finding a girl,
I'm just imagining this guy going to his boss, can you get me a kid?
Well, that's the thing, is the scientist comes in the episode. The scientist is like, hey, I did the research, and the reason, you know, we noticed these differentiations in when they turn and how they look and stuff like that. And the younger you are, the more you're able to do whatever with this antibody, blah, 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 scientific science talk, basically. But we need a kid, so they need to find someone who won't be missed. Well, the agent who's played by what's his name from Saved by the Bell?
Marpa Gosselaar.
Yeah, he's really good in it. Yeah.
It's Zach. I
didn't know he was in there.
Yeah, that's him. It's
I've not seen a single episode of the show. No. All right.
Oh, it's on the thing right now.
Yeah, I see it.
That's him.
I'm in.
Well,
he just looks so weird with the dark hair, because I think I'm just so used to him being Zach, the blonde frosted streaks.
Right. But he's actually really good. He's really well cast. He really cares for the girl, and that kind of like what turns him around. And what they do, it's great, is that the vampires, I forget what they call them in the book, the infected, we'll say. There's a lot of mental talk between them. And so it's really neat how they have them like show up and have conversations, even though they're not really in the same room together. Like the Fanning, that guy there, like he's like the main dude and stuff. So it's really cool. It's setting everything up for what I assume will be the next season. But they do a lot of good character development, which was kind of lacking in the book. They're like, okay, here's these 12 inmates. You get to know like two of them. And like, that's it. And like, who are these other 12 or 10? Like I don't have any backstory. So it seems like they'll give some good backstory. And so Anthony, that guy there, who is not actually guilty of his crime, like in the book was completely different character. I think he was like mentally slow, and like there was a weird thing with a rich woman, and they completely change the story around. So it's a little more believable, I think. But they give him a good, like all last episode was just like mostly his backstory and everything. So, I highly recommend it. I was very surprised at the quality of the show. The production quality is super high. Everyone in it's really well cast. And, you actually like, that's the biggest thing I think in TV shows right now, is that it's hard to find characters you like. Like it seems like you've watched a show and like, I don't like anybody in here, like Night Flyers and stuff. Like I hate all of you. I don't have anyone I like, but there's several characters you're very sympathetic towards, even some of the infected and stuff like that. So, and even like the heartless scientists that you think, oh, they need a girl. Well, they think they're trying to basically save all of the US, basically all of North America, because it's going to be wiped out by this, you know, disease. And, you know, this is it, you know, this is the last chance. So,
yeah.
They do a good job of really pushing that. So I was really happy with this. I've actually kept up with it Like I look forward to it every Monday on the DVR. I'm like, oh, that's right, it's on the DVR. I rush to watch it. So that's my like dorkgasm.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend that.
Do you watch? Have you watched what is it? The Manifest on NBC.
The Manifest.
That's the one where like these people are on a like airplane coming back from Hawaii or Tahiti.
Oh, it's like the Lost thing, but they're all like,
yeah.
They skip time, like, right?
Yeah, and they disappear for like 5 years, and then the plane lands, and they think that they were just delayed a little bit. And you're like, it's been 5 years, you know. And the main character is like, his wife has moved on, has like a boyfriend living in the house and shit like that. His sister, her fiance, you know, thought she was dead, so now he's engaged to her best friend, and it's just,
of course, yeah, you gotta have the one that moved on.
It's not a great show. I'm not even sure if it's a good show, but what I do like about it, where I enjoyed Lost very much, but they knew how to drag out shit.
Yeah.
You know, this show I thought was going to be the same thing. Oh no, you don't have to wait long at all before they start answering shit. I mean, they'll still bring up like more questions, but like, oh yeah, here, we're just laying it all out on the table, 'cause we don't think it's going to get renewed. So here you go.
Well, I think that's a problem with a lot of shows like that, because they did the, what was the one where everyone was coming back to life?
I didn't watch any of that. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, there was a one where like people came back to life, but they were the same person, but they weren't the same person. And then I forgot, that was on ABC. And then like Under the Dome was a mess. And like,
oh yeah.
What was the one with the one with Jack Bauer, Kiefer 24? Sutherland, where he's the only one left after everyone.
Oh, Designated Survivor.
Designated Survivor. Like, there's always the concept, but then like after the, you know, everything settles down, like, okay, well, he's just the president, and now they have a whole new system. So
and then USA had that show Colony.
Yeah. Well, and then you mentioned, it was funny, The Lost, but, you know, the people disappearing, wasn't the 2200 or something like that? Wasn't that a show?
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that show either.
That was pretty good. But yeah, that's where people like disappeared in all points of time, I think.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And all appeared. And then it was like, it was a kind of like a, what do you call it? A beastie of the week kind of thing. So there were different 2200 with different abilities, I think, if I remember correctly. So at least like you had something to keep that one going. Like the concept was cool. It was a cool twist. But then you had, you know, the monster of the week kind of formula, which worked really well. So, yeah, no, I definitely recommend the Passage. I haven't looked at any reviews or anything. I just like it. I think they did. It's a good.
Yeah, it's a good representation. I kind of wanted to wait till the first season was over to see if it got renewed or not, to see if it was worth.
Yeah, that could be a smart move. In. Yeah, because Fox, you never know. Like, they'll have something that has good ratings, but it costs too much.
Yeah, but since it's based on books, I mean, I can pick up the books.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's
all right. Why you should always. That's why you bring all your shows to CW. Yeah, we can do this for cheaper. No problem. It's true.
Pretty much. That's what they did with Supergirl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because with CBS, it was costing them like over $2 million an episode, I think, just in CGI. And
it was so bad. Because do you remember the fight between her and what was the screamy or the shock woman or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
That was so bad looking when she was flying. I was like, she's on wires. Like, you can almost see the wires.
It's like you could almost see them. Exactly.
It was so slow. I was like, we like practical effects. I was like, no, that's not.
But now that the CW picked it up, you can actually see better quality, because they can. It's like they've got like better like CGI technology to use. It's like with Supernatural. It's like I got like two of the I think I've got like seasons one and two on DVD, or maybe it's just season one. But I was when I was watching it, it's like when you read like all the commentary, and they were talking about how they created that look of like a bridge that's been totally destroyed or washed out, whatever. But yet, then they show you what it looked like before, and it's a completely normal bridge. But then they CGI it,
and it just looks like it's been destroyed. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, like magic. CBS, their whole process is like, well, we need to build a whole set of a destroyed bridge.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. they're very old fashioned in that way.
Yeah.
Like the old school television.
And it's just funny with Arrow. It's like, well, like during the first couple of seasons, how the outside of the Queen house was the old Luther house.
Right.
Anybody catch that one? Anyone? Anyone?
Oh, it's just like how Biltmore Mansion is like every rich person's mansion in any movie, which I always find is hilarious. It's like, I know that's Biltmore. There's like only one like it in the entire United States.
Yep.
It's like Richie Rich's house. And then
that's that.
It's a gorgeous looking house. I can see why they use it. So that's television. I think that we covered that pretty good, all things considered.
Woo-hoo!
Checklist marked off for TV.
Check.
So yeah, and then I don't know about games. I've got a lot to talk about. Well, at least three. That's a lot for me. But I don't. Have you? You've been working, Rocker. So I don't know if you've been able to see any of these. But what I've been most excited about for who knows how many years it's been now. Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, I was watching you on Friday.
Yeah.
Playing. I watched from the start of your stream till I had to go to work, and I never said a word. I was just, I was too involved. I'm like, nope. Too involved with what's going on.
Yeah. It's, oh, and that's fine. But I mean, it's funny because it literally, Mandy and the kids got home. You know, I had been streaming for about, you know, 3.5 hours, and I was trying to get off. And I like, you know, the first land you're in is Hercules, and it looks gorgeous, by the way. It's absolutely breathtaking. And this is Matt's favorite.
This is Matt's favorite.
I've been talking to Matt about this for like 2 years now. We've been so excited about Kingdom Hearts.
Matt's all excited.
But yeah, you beat the Hercules level, and there, I'm not exaggerating, there is 20 to 25 minutes of cutscenes afterwards. I was like, I just want to save this and get off. But it was just like cutscene after cutscene.
It seems like the cutscenes are much longer than they were in 1.5.
Yeah, well, I think they tend to get longer later in the game. But this was really early on. I think it's because they're trying to wrap everything up. I don't know.
Trying to wrap it all together, yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot going on. And the funny thing is, I don't care about the story of Kingdom Hearts because it's Square Enix, and they're convoluted just to be convoluted. Like, have you ever seen their Batman that they did, the statue? Like, it's stupidly complex, you know? All I care about is it's Disney. It's Disney stuff. That's all I want to see. So all the stuff with the Heartless and the Dark and trying to explain, and
yep,
they're split, and there's nobodies, and there's the Hearts and the Ansem and the Yesma and the Nesma and the Flibbity flabbity doos.
And the fact that there's just so many different versions of every character under different names who were all sharing the memories.
Yeah, but they're like, they sent them younger self back to so they could split it up and they could swallow, like, consume all the darkness or all the hearts again. Like, it's too much. Just Disney, Final Fantasy, marriage. Death till death do you part, and then it's great. It's fantastic. But there's like no Final Fantasy anymore. Like that's not even part of it.
Yeah, the Final Fantasy aspect is so far gone.
Yeah, it's like bye-bye now. But that's what made it so special, was like, oh, Final Fantasy and Disney. Yes, please. But you know what? It's got Disney stuff, and that's all I care about. So
exactly.
I think
that's probably a lot of reason why everybody was excited. Because one, if they've played the original Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. So yes, this is something they've all been waiting for. And then 2, it's like, yeah, if you're a big Disney fan, so you know you've seen Disney from the start in the 2 previous games. So you want to see how else does Disney fold in all the characters that they've come up with. It's like, so who has the most dominant role or the most intricate role with Sora and everything else in the storyline?
which is great that they had that they're still keeping Goofy and Donald and Mickey as like the big three main ones that Sora has to go to.
Well, and you got
especially
Pete.
especially that he keeps Goofy and Donald with him at all times.
Yeah.
But yet Mickey can call on them if he needs them for something or
Riku's a big part of it too, because Riku's hanging out with Mickey. So it just cracks me up. Like every time, it seems like every time they update their outfits, they're like, let's add more zippers.
Thank you.
Zippers everywhere. Too we love zippers.
Zippers.
You have leveled up. Have extra zippers, please. Here's your extra helping of zippers. So
it's like when it's like we're not wearing the Michael Jackson jacket. So no more zippers. Stop.
That's just a Square Enix thing. Once again, yeah. Trying to make things more complicated than they need to be. But to be fair, I mean the characters look great. The animation is fantastic. The
music is amazing.
The music is so good.
Oh my god, yes.
The digital. Yeah, I was tempted to actually grab the special edition because I think it comes with the music. I thought maybe not.
No, I think it does.
Does it? Because I know it comes with the steelbook and stuff, but I don't remember if it came with the music for the. I was like, I could probably get that on YouTube or something. Not that I can do that, but or Spotify. But yeah, the music's really good and it plays really well. It's I was a little overwhelmed at first because they do just kind of throw you in. I'm like, okay, you can bounce off walls and free run and stuff. And I'm like, okay.
You are actually having. It's like I was listening to it. It's like, well, I did all this. Now what am I supposed to do? I can't do this and I can't do that. I'm like.
With the the deluxe comes with the artwork.
I can't help.
Yeah, it was kind of pricey. It was like 30 extra bucks, I think, for the deluxe. So I'm like, for the art book,
wow.
I don't think you got the music. I think it was the art book and the steel book, and I don't know if there was anything digital that you got as well. But I don't know. I was like, maybe I can get that later.
Probably.
Yeah, but it looks really good. And if you actually want to catch up on the story, it does have in the menu system the story so far. And it's got the five little pieces to kind of help you.
Yep.
And it's funny watching Kingdom Hearts 1. You're like, I used to think this looked so good. And I'm like, it still doesn't look awful. But the amount in graphical terms is how far they've come. It's $80 for the deluxe. So it's okay. It's like an extra $20 for the deluxe and then $300 for the collector's edition. Oof. It's probably got like a statue or something,
probably. But
it's pretty good. We'll probably play a little bit tomorrow night.
Yay.
So that's the problem is with the Monday, we do the Minecraft and then we did the podcast now. So I'm probably have to add a couple extra nights there so I can really get into it some more.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Extra streams.
5 nights at Krispies.
That is too many nights. People have asked for less nights at Krispies. But yeah,
I want more. I asked for more.
So, but not the problem is that came out and then coming up soon later this month. And yes. Anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Which is by EA and it's kind of like their. I don't want to compare it. Like, oh, it's their Destiny. It's very similar. It's a similar kind of grind shooter game like Destiny or Warframe. I played the demo and I had a good time with it. It was buggy. it was very buggy. Yeah, really? Right. But graphically it's great. The flying feels good. The shooting looks good
just from what you're showing here, this with the trailer. I was like, yeah, the graphics look amazing.
Yeah, no, it looks great. The bazaar, whatever the main area. Well, it's BioWare, so it's the same people that did Mass Effect and everything. So it's got that kind of cool feel. There's lots of cool character interaction. You got like a 4-mission story in the demo, so you kind of got an idea what it was like, and it was enjoyable. The only thing that's really bugging me right now about this game is the fact that. So I had gotten the deluxe edition. Yeah, but apparently you have to have the Origin Pass to start playing on the 15th, and then if you pre-ordered it, everyone else is on the 22nd. So why would it's like they're encouraging people not to actually pre-order it and get the Origin access instead, which I understand, but it seems like you're penalizing people who pre-order, which seems kind of ass backwards, if you ask me.
No, yeah, that is ass backwards.
In fact, and they got in a lot of heat because apparently they have so many different options that they had to put together a spreadsheet. Like, how can you play Anthem? Here's a spreadsheet on how and when you can start playing it. I'm like, what? I hate the staggered stuff. And it's even worse that they're, you know, the pre-orders would be a week after Origin. And Origin Access is just their monthly, like, $15 a month thing. So I'm like, wait a minute, what? People are just going to pay $15 a month and play it for a month and stop playing. I don't know. I don't know why you would cater as much to that. So I have a feeling it's kind of going to kind of bomb hard. That's my feeling.
Yeah, it sounds like it might.
I don't know. The end game supposedly is there. They've got end game content that they've been promoting. That's always the biggest issue with people is they rush through it and then there's nothing to do. But apparently they have like strongholds and stuff and they've got a whole video on what to do. I have to check it out some more. But it's very loot heavy. You find a lot of loot and you craft things and you can one of the fun parts of the characters is that you can really customize your mech a ton, like from textures to different pieces of it to colors and all that. Most of that's all unlocked. So the only thing that isn't is like some of the sprays and stuff like that, which to be honest, they were okay. I preferred playing with the colors and textures more than anything else. I must have spent probably about an hour customizing my Colossus mech. And so there's four different classes. There's like the scouty kind of class, the main ranger class. There's the storm class, which is kind of like a castery flying class. There's the interceptor, which is kind of, you know, dodgy, sneaky, tracky. And then there's the Colossus, which is like the big tanky, which I like. And they get to use like Gatling guns and grenade launchers and stuff. So that'll probably be my class of choice. They get a shield and stuff. It's a gorgeous game. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with it in the future. The DLC is going to be free in the future, apparently, like the content, which is, you know, that's a pro, you know, Destiny charges everything for new DLC. So that's, I like that. I like the fact that they're not going to be charging any, they're not going to have loot boxes or anything like that. There's just cosmetic stuff you can buy. So, I mean, that as long as they keep that promise, that's something in their favor for certain. But yeah, I'll be checking that out. And then we also have, and this was a total surprise. This was out of left field, was the Apex Legends. And it's by Respawn, who did Titanfall. And it takes place in the Titanfall world, and it's a battle royale game. And they basically announced it and then released it. And it's basically Titanfall without the Titans in a battle royale game. But that's fine, because the characters move really well, I think. And I played a little bit of this last night, and it was actually very polished. I was very surprised at how well it plays. It's a lot more fun for me than Fortnite and stuff where you have to build. I would say the closest similarity would probably be the Black Ops Blackout Battle Royale stuff. So it's very smooth. The shooting feels really good. It's a little less serious than Blackout. But the skins aren't quite as good as Fortnite. Like, you can't customize your character quite as much the same way as Fortnite. I think Fortnite probably has the goofy comical stuff down pat, but I can see this doing pretty well in the battle royale space for certain. But yeah, I'll be checking out more of that as well. People feel free to add me on Origin Wild EX in there too, so we can play either one of those games. To be honest, I'll be a lot of EA gaming for a while there. Have you been playing anything, Rob?
No, mostly still Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead.
Yeah, I'm only on like chapter 4. I just can't stop doing side quests and hunt everything else. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to finally being able to play it though, now that I've got the PS4 hooked up to capture. So that and Spider-Man.
Yeah, actually just think it was today, Remo was like, you haven't played that Spider-Man game in a really, 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 really long time. Like, yeah, I know. There's only so many hours in the day.
Does he like to watch you?
Oh, yeah. He loves that game. So, yeah.
I mean,
and I think I mentioned I've got the Spider-Man PS4 Pro. So it's red with a big spider. And he thinks that machine is just for Spider-Man.
Well, of course. I don't know if I had mentioned in the last, I think I had the Spider-Geddon comic series or whatever. It was cool that they had a video game Spider-Man in the comic book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you did.
Yeah. And that it's superior Spider-Man that recruits him. So that was kind of neat. Yeah. I'm looking forward to, what was cool about it is because then I know in the video game, Doc Ock plays a pretty big part in it, at least, Otto Octavius. So it's interesting seeing that dynamic play between that, the video game Peter Parker and Superior Spider-Man, who is Doc Ock as Spider-Man. So it's very interesting. Oh, but that's all I had actually. If I don't know if you had anything, any other topics you want to discuss or video games or comics or.
No, well, actually, yeah, there was something real quick. I just thought it was so interesting. You were talking about that DLC being, was it free for one of those games?
Anthem.
What?
Anthem, yeah.
Okay. But downloadable content for those.
But I was just impressed by the fact that there's like this huge Minecraft update coming, and that game's what? How old is that? Like 6 years? Five?
11? 2009.
It's 11?
2009, 2010. Yeah. About 10.
That's still under active development, like huge, massive development. And it was like a $27 at most video game.
Yeah.
That's,
well, it was actually that's free insane. Too, wasn't it, for people that played?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't get into it for a long time, but yeah, I think if you signed up at one point, it was like super cheap. But I think the most it's ever cost is like $27. That's just insane.
Yeah, some of I know it was. Yeah, it's usually about $30 for like the Xbox or PS4 and stuff like that. But yeah, I get up to $40 for the consoles, if I remember correctly. Jeez. But now it's got so much content in it that I don't know, maybe they feel they can charge that much.
I don't know. Maybe. But yeah, anyway, I just thought that was impressive. And so the free DLC thing, I think, is another interesting move in that kind of direction. So,
well, Rob, if you're running for president, you need to change that rule. Free DLCs for everybody.
Yes, you need to make pre-orders much less confusing for the consumer, letting them know exactly what they're getting. That would be great. No more loot boxes, because that's basically gambling.
Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, and then let's see, what else in video games? I don't know.
And make the games a little bit more affordable.
Well, I think 60, I mean, 60 has been the standard, but I think make a full game and don't make a half a game. And then charge DLC to complete the game later on.
Yeah, and charge an arm and leg for the DLC. It's like ridiculous.
But I don't know if you can be like, hey, bring out a finished product. Because that's really capitalism, right? if you don't like it, stop buying it. But we're too dumb.
But it used to be, hype. You know, back before you could just download a patch, the games had to be a finished product.
Yeah. You know, now it's like now they just put it in beta or they put it early access. Mm-hmm. They say it's early access. So people are like, oh, OK, well, it's not finished, but I can't wait. We're like kids who opened the Christmas presents early, you know, like,
yeah,
let's see what's going on with this. And then we're disappointed and then we leave it alone. Uh-huh. And then when it comes out a year later and we're like, we check it out again or we get suckered into, you know, buying it so we can play it early access. And that's all they care about sometimes. They use it as a financial move to gain more financial means, you know, to kind of help them finish developing the game as well. You put out early access, you get an influx of cash, and you can hire more people. And I get that, you know. I think Killing Floor 2 was in early access for forever, but, you know, it's a relatively polished game, despite all that, and they keep adding to it. Yeah. But so we have Rob's platform. I think that's what we've decided tonight. Oh, I didn't mean to switch that back there. Rob's platform tonight for removing the letter C. No more pronouncing tomatoes as tomatoes, or apparently drug out into the street like the Wild West and shot. no more loot boxes. I like it.
Yeah, that's good so far. I did have two things I wanted to talk about super fast.
Sure.
This is, you always ask what our dorkgasm for the whatever time period is. This is kind of like my anti dorkgasm was the Holmes and Watson movie with Will Ferrell. Oh, and
yes.
I I've enjoyed all of their movies together so far. So it's disappointing that it apparently sucked so bad. But I'm also a huge Sherlock Holmes nut, which I believe you probably knew about. But
yes.
I've just got a massive collection of Sherlock Holmes
movies. I was wondering where you're going at. I have a massive
Mahogany
for Sherlock Holmes.
So I was super looking forward to this movie, and then to find out like it's just terrible.
Yeah, people were walking out and demanding money back. It was that bad.
And a semi-related note, somehow I managed to be reading at the same time two entirely different series of books that were basically Sherlock Holmes in the Lovecraft mythos.
What?
And they were both very good. But what's weird is that I think they're both supposed to be like 3-part books, and I got into them when one series had 2 books out and the other just had the first book out. And so I pre-ordered the next books in the series.
Wait, what is this? Is like a Sherlock Lovecraft thing?
Yeah. So like 2 different ones. They're not related to each other whatsoever. Just 2 people decided to write a book going, what happens if Sherlock Holmes had to like fight Deep One?
I can see 2 people series, coming up with an idea. Yeah, for sure.
Literally teamed up with Cthulhu to defeat Moriarty. So
that's an odd one.
Yeah, it was odd, really,
but it sounds cool at the same time.
Yeah, what are these called?
Yeah, well, Moriarty had basically done some shit and tricked one of the other elder gods and stole his power and became an elder god himself.
Well, there you go.
Cthulhu, anyway, but I do not recommend reading both of those series at the same time because they kind of blend together, and I forgot what happened in each series, and it just was a big mess. So don't do that.
They kind of ran together.
Yeah, especially because I tend to read them before I go to bed, which is not the best time to read stuff you really want to retain in your memory. So
yeah, especially Lovecraft. Yeah, because shit fucks with your head.
And then, you know, like a few months went by before I got the next book, a few months ago by since I'd finished the previous book, and I'm like, what happened? Yeah. So I guess there's actually 3 things. The other thing, just real quick, is we did mention during the movie stuff that Ben Affleck is like officially done as being Batman.
Yes.
Not just rumored, but
he's really not even directing it. Yeah. Like that was the thing. Like he wasn't going to be Batman, but he's going to direct it. And then now it's like he is totally not involved, but he's very excited for whoever's.
Oh, playing. Yeah, of course. Contractually obligated to be excited.
He is allowed.
You know what? He's still not the worst Batman. That was George Clooney.
Oh, God. He was pretty
good
Batman. I thought he was a good Batman. Or not George Clooney but Ben Affleck.
Clooney was all right. I think Val Kilmer was one of the worst.
Oh.
Not as bad as George Clooney, but probably second worst.
Material.
Yeah.
For me, Michael Keaton will always be the best one, and Christian Bale is second.
Except for the Batman voice, which is
That's why I think Affleck was better. Yeah.
For the voice, yeah.
Well, and they just deepened it basically with the, mm-hmm. which is what Batman would do. He'd use some kind of voice dampener, you know, because he doesn't want to sound like Bruce Wayne or a gravelly Bruce Wayne.
I'm Batman. That's all you ever, that's like the voice.
Where's Rachel? Rachel!
I can't do that for long. I'm going to cough.
Sorry.
No. I was like,
thing was just a public service announcement, which is since a lot of articles on about Lego sets being they've increased in value more than gold.
Really? I mean, I'm not surprised.
Do not invest in Lego sets. If anybody ever thinks about it, do not do that. That is a terrible idea.
Well, you can't open them, right? That's one thing.
Well, you can't open them. But here, all right. So I have a just massive amount of Lego sets and Legos in general. Like I've got shelves in my closet full of unopened sets because like I've got them and I just have not had time to work through them yet. A lot of Legos. So yeah, I would, you know, I would be so thrilled if they would, you know, end up being able to, I could retire on my Lego sets.
Right.
But for example, there was this Millennium Falcon that came out several years ago that was huge. The size of like a coffee table, huge. I think at the time it sold for like $500 or $600. And it was, you know, like 5,000 pieces. And once it went out of, not out of print, that's not the right word, but once they retired the set, at one point that set was selling new in the box for over $5,000, which is a pretty good return on investment, right? Right,
yeah.
Find somebody to pay $500. Well, last year, or was it the year before, Lego released a new version of the giant Millennium Falcon, which was very, very similar to that other one, but actually looked a little bit better, which made the market just drop. Like, there was no demand at all for the previous set anymore.
You know, that's like when
one was better.
That's like when Wizards of the Coast re-releases a Magic card. That's
yeah, exactly.
Because I've got one that Noble High Arc, which I had gotten for like $4 a piece, because you know, four of them for a deck. Mm-hmm. There were 60 a piece now, but I need to sell them before they release them or else they're going to lose, you know, that value. But
yeah,
exactly. Sounds like what happened with the Lego stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky because I've got the Black Lotus and they're never going to re-release that. So
do you have a Black Lotus?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I used to have a Mox Emerald too. Let's see, I had a Betamax Emerald and an unlimited Black Lotus.
You realize that those are like $5,000 to $15,000, depending.
Yeah,
those are money now.
Those are bank, depending on. Just he's depends.
Like, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. Well,
is it an Alpha?
My Lotus?
Yeah.
No, I think it's unlimited. If I remember,
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's.
I want to say that I had
$5,000. I think at least.
I think I had a Betamax Emerald. It was either. I had a Betamax Emerald and an unlimited Lotus or vice versa. But my girlfriend bought me the Mox Emerald for like $50 and then bought me the Lotus for like $150 like a long time ago.
Holy Budweiser's.
Yeah. Whenever I moved to Florida, I sold the Mox Emerald. I got like almost $700 for it.
That's really good.
So, yeah. Yeah. That was nice. But,
that's definitely a good return.
Yeah, that was especially since I didn't pay for it. Woo!
Even better.
It was funny. I was talking to my. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say yeah. So yeah, but what you were saying, Lego did the exact thing with they didn't update the set, but there was a Taj Mahal set that again was going for over $1,000.
The big re-release.
Retired. Yeah. They just flat out re-released it. No changes at all. identical set, but now it's, I think you can buy it for like $300, you know, brand new off of this website.
I guess Lego could, I guess it's kind of for them, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because they want people to, they would imagine they want people to buy them, like collectors. Yeah. But at the same time,
right,
they have the mindset, like, we want everyone to be able to play with it, and they don't want a crazy, out-of-hand second market, you know?
Yeah, that's, yeah. They, like, they've got nothing to gain by the second market.
This kid wants to put together Millennium Falcon, doesn't have $5,000 to do it. So they, you know, they re-release it, a different set, and... I mean, they are different, so they're going to, the originals are still going to retain some of that value for sure. Well,
except in the case where, I mean, that was the argument whenever the Millennium Falcon came out. But whenever they did the Taj Mahal, that was just a flat out re-release. So, you know, that means anything they've ever retired that people have been kind of hoarding could just instantly be re-released, and then their stuff is worthless because they're, you know, except what the only benefit of buying the older one is the box is a little bit more faded. So,
yeah, well, it's like, what I was going to bring up is the fact that I was talking to the comic book folks the last time I was in the shop, not today, but the previous time. And, we had gotten talking about, I'd seen, Walking Dead issue number 100, and they had it graded. And I was looking at it, I'm like, you know, I've got Walking Dead early stuff. And she's like, you do? I was like, yeah, I don't have like number one. And because I know number one can go for quite an amount. And I was like, but I do have like early on, like I couldn't remember what issue at the time. She's like, you should get those checked out. And I was like, I had looked and it didn't look like it was, they were all that much. But I have like issues 9 through 34, and that includes like the introduction of Michonne, the governor, stuff like that. So the Michonne comic is like probably I could get anywhere depending, and they're all bagged and boarded, and they have been, so they're all in really good condition, anywhere from like $400 to $800 just for that one issue. Yeah, I'm like, woo! I'm like, well, I should probably get that one graded, but like you were saying, there was the issue where the governor was introduced, was that 11? Somewhere in there. Or 22 maybe. There are two covers, and the second cover, the second printing cover, is like a blue background. For some reason, that's worth like $200 more. I don't know why. But that's what I'm thinking, maybe there's something similar with the Legos, like even though, because it is a different version, you know, I guess it depends on scarcity and want, but if the newer version of the Lego is more desirable, then the old one's going to lose the value. And if they made the new one better, but if the Taj Mahal was like the same, except, you know, the box has a different date on it.
Yeah.
The old one might retain its value. Collectors are weird that way. Whoever, you know, it's all arbitrary. Like,
yeah,
it's collectors that make it worth anything. If people are willing to pay it, that's what gives it value.
Yeah, and actually, since we're getting ready to move, one of the things we've been trying to figure out is how are we going to move all the Legos? Because we've got several sets like that are put together, like the Death Star and the Ghostbusters house and various like Star Wars Ultimate Collector Series sets. The fucking shield helicarrier.
Oh, yeah.
That thing is so awesome. I've got the motor in it, too, so like the little
fans go.
Yeah, it's so awesome. But so huge. And so we were trying to figure out how we're going to move these because they're going to come apart. There's just no way to avoid that.
Do you have them on display now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, are they like in glass like display things or?
Some of them, yes.
Wow.
Take pictures of them, Robin. Put them in the Discord. I'd love to see these.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. I'll also take a picture of my closet.
You should do a post on the website of your of all the pictures of your Lego stuff and your story of what you do with the Legos.
Yeah. Yeah, we've actually got several, was it 5 or 6 bookcases lining the wall in our bedroom with glass doors on it with various things in them. Ooh, right now it's not like curated, I guess would be the word for it. We've just been moving stuff around as you know, trying to get stuff.
You don't have like the little placard in the front?
No, no. But like we moved all the Legos, or not all, but many of the Legos from downstairs up into there while we're like doing some painting and stuff like that. So
get that. And that's a good question, because we're going to be moving here soon as well. And we don't have anything as big as that, but we do have like the Harry Potter, like mm-hmm. the train set that Mandy put together. And then we've got like the smaller sets, like the NASA women of NASA with the uh-huh. shuttle and stuff, and that we kind of display as well. Like, I was wondering how we were going to move these train sets and exactly where we're going to display them. Right now it's on top of the bookcase, but.
Actually, I've got the Christmas train. I've got the Harry Potter train I haven't put together, but I've got the Christmas train from a couple years back. I think I've got it in a shoebox. That works really well.
It's probably small enough to probably fit in a smaller box. But for you, I can't even, it's like you got to Google that and find some YouTube videos on how to move.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to the movers, came out to give us an idea of how much it was going to cost, and they didn't seem to think it would be any problem to move these things. But the idea Susie came up with is she got clear garbage bags. Well, she just was going to get garbage bags. I was the one that said you should get the clear ones. So we're going to put them in the garbage bags and tie up the garbage bags, so that way, at least whenever the pieces come off, they'll all be in the bag.
Mm-hmm. That's a smart move.
And then I said that the clear ones would be better, so that way we can't accidentally toss the bag out and like miss some pieces. It'd be very obvious if there's anything in there.
Yeah, so that way you see
clear ones don't get tossed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then with the clear ones, you can actually see what's still in there. And if a piece falls off, then you know exactly where it came from.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm a liar, apparently. I don't know which part I lied about.
Oh. Did you get called out that you didn't?
Yeah, I got a text from Susie with Miracle Max's wife yelling liar.
liar
busted.
Yeah. Okay, so I've got like no Legos whatsoever. We have zero Legos in the house, but I wish I had some Legos.
Is that what the lie is about?
Yeah.
As we were talking, I was thinking, you know what, we do have, but it'd be expensive for all the set to do it for all the ones that you have. But there, my mom had gotten Charlie like the, it's like a Lego sack kind of that folds flat. And so you work on something and then you like pull it up into like a, it like consumes the Legos into a sack safely.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine spending however much for each set.
I used to put the Lego sets together using, we've got this big ass ottoman in our living room, and I would work on that. So, you know, be in the living room, hang out with the rest of the family, watch TV and do the Legos. We ended up going to, I have Lego everywhere. That's true. That's what Susie says. I've got Lego everywhere. That is true. I'm constantly finding Legos in places I didn't know there were. We went to IKEA and got for like a little end table for the side of the couch that I sit on, like a table. But what it is, it's like a breakfast nook table where it's got like two leaves, and then like in the middle is just a real skinny part, like 8 inches across or something. And the way I've got it set up is I can flip one of the leaves up and work on the Legos there like that.
It's like your Lego workstation.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So, yeah, I've had to buy specific furniture just to deal with my Lego addiction.
Yeah.
But number one, you admitted you had an addiction. So
that's the thing. Not only does he have Legos, though, he has comic books, too.
Yeah, well, that's
admitting you have the addiction. First step.
Well, yeah, I got the Lego Death Star for free because I bought so many Legos. So
I think the Netflix show that you need to watch is
all of my Legos spark joy.
I was about ready to say tidying up with Marie Kondo. I was like, you need to watch that one. But I can so definitely see every single item she lifts up. It's like, that does bring me joy. But there would be no joy apparent in your face because you have resting rock face. She's like, I do not believe you.
Yeah.
I do not see the passion.
It's a weird mixture of joy and shame. So
and guilt mixed all rolled into one package.
Yeah, that's how I refer it. When I go to the comic book store, like they pull my stuff out of the pull box, and it's like there, it's just a big pile of shame.
It's just too much. Face. Yeah, it's
doesn't
funny.
Help that I go in every 5 weeks, so that the pile is pretty big.
It's pretty massive. Yeah.
Yeah.
A month
yeah,
pile can get pretty expensive. Although I haven't we cut back a little bit, and I think we'll cut back some more when we move. Like I've just been thinking about like what stuff would brings me joy versus like it's interesting to read. You know, like mm-hmm. I really like reading the Batman, and I love, you know, I will always read Green Lantern, which has actually been really good. It's what Mark Waid has been doing.
Oh, I thought Grant Morrison was.
Oh no, you're right. You're right. It's Morrison. Sorry, Morrison.
I cannot stand Grant Morrison.
So, yeah, I know you're not a big fan, but I like what he's doing with the Green Lantern.
Yeah, I'm interested to see once I move, like what comics I end up putting on my pull list. You know, in the new place, because it's definitely not gonna be the stupid thing that I've got now.
Yeah, you know, like Captain America, I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll always do Captain America. I'll always do Batman. As long as Nick Spencer keeps writing Spider-Man, I'll be reading that. Like, that's been really good. But yeah, like some of the, like Justice League, I've really been enjoying, because it's anything basically Snyder or King, I'll probably get. But other than that, I'm like, yeah, like we really did cut down though. And the Wonder Woman has been really good recently too. The creators on that, but that's one of those things, like it changes all the time.
Yeah.
So do I find I enjoy the beginning of this Wonder Woman series now, but will I later? Same with the Flash. Like I like the Flash and stuff, but it's always up and down as far as quality. So like that's, I'm going to have to kind of base on what do I want pulled and what do I not want pulled at this point? Because it's like,
jeez.
Although we are getting a bigger house, so
yeah,
that's always a problem. Because then you fill it up.
It doesn't work. Doesn't work, Crispy.
I know
that one.
I know. Well, we do have a big closet, which is good. So it'll give me several more years to fill it up with comics. But it's one of those things where I've been looking at some of the older ones. I'm like, I need to go through and eBay some of these older series that I just don't, you know, I wouldn't have any interest in going back and looking at again. But yeah, like I can't imagine having all those Legos, all the comics. Do you do Pop Funk stuff too or no?
Some. Remo really likes them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, usually we go to the comic book store. I'll let him get one. So I've got a handful of them that I've got the Mr. Rogers one and a few others. But Remo likes them more. And I think I've mentioned before that the people that collect them would just be aghast because he opens them up and actually plays with them like they're toys.
So. Yeah, I pretty much open up most of them too.
Yeah, most of mine. Yeah, I've got opened up and their guys are sitting on the shelf.
Yeah, like I can see people collecting them. Like, you know, I'm not going to dog anybody for that because I, you know, you do similar things with other things that you don't open. Like I've got some. You know, like the action figures or whatever I haven't opened, you know, like they're specifically as I got as an adult to collect and or keep, you know, nice. But
yeah,
for Pop Funk, I think they're so fun. It's almost a, you know, a joy wise, passion wise. I think it's more fun to take them out of the box and display them because I guess the baseball bat display cases are really good for displaying them like outside of the box is what a tip I had learned, a life hack I'd learned from the interwebs. So
I mean, I know realistically I'm never going to get around to like selling them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if I open them or not. And then it's just dumb to give them to, you know, a 5-year-old and expect him to keep them in the box because, oh, someday they'll be like my Black Lotus, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Open them up and play. They're goddamn toys.
Which is funny because there's other stuff. They're like, they're toys, but you can't play with it.
Yeah. And Remo needs to learn in 30 years, he's going to look back. He's like, why did I open those? I'd be rich. Like, yep. Yep. Now you understand.
Exactly.
It's like you want to play with them, but you can't because down the road, they're going to be worth something.
Yeah.
Do you collect anything, Rucker?
No, I don't. When I was when I was younger, I did collect things.
I collected weird stuff when I was a kid. When the Smurfs was like a really was super big when we were kids for the cartoon. I used to collect like the little
the Smurf toys.
Yeah, not the toys, but like the little figurines. Like the little,
yeah,
the little rubbery figurines. I used to collect those. It's like, but I had, I think I had like a small handful of those and whatnot. And then afterwards, I started collecting like things that had to do with teddy bears. Whether it was something small, an actual stuffed teddy bear. At one point, I actually had teddy bear flannel sheets for my bed.
Oh,
that's how bad the addiction got with collecting anything with bears. Yeah, to the point where it's on my bed. Yeah,
it's okay. That's why you're
here. Yeah,
that's why everyone is here. That's why they're gonna spread the joy of the dorkasm because everyone's got the thing that they like to collect and or have.
My husband does collect comic books. Right now, it's like I can actually see in the living room. There's at least 7 big boxes.
Ooh, that's decent. Yeah. That's a decent sized collection right there.
Yeah.
That's not amateur.
At least 6 1/4 of them are full of books. Comic books.
Mm-hmm. If you go into my bedroom right now, there is a Batman comforter on my bed.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nope. And there is a Spider-Man one in the closet. So.
Again, nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
Yeah, we went to the comic book shop today to sell Girl Scout cookies. By the way, I'm going to pimp those out. Hit me up if you guys want. Get them Girl Scout cookies. My daughter Evelyn's selling those, so just hit me up on DM. I won't go through the whole thing on the podcast here. But
and I was ready to hit that command.
Oh, you can. I don't think it'll play anything. For everyone in chat, that's fine. But they always let us go to the comic book store every year. And we don't sell...
A cookie?
Yes. I guess it does play the sound. Interesting.
Yes, it does.
Even though I turned off sounds. They usually, you know, they really love our kids. They're like their favorite. You know, like they always spoil them when we're there. And they let Evelyn sell cookies there. And we sell, I don't know, half a dozen to a dozen cookies. You know, it's not a ton, but every little bit helps when she's actually there on a Wednesday, which is the big, you know, people come in on the Wednesday. Cause that's when they do the polls and stuff. And, mm-hmm. So we went there today and, Dan, the guy at the comic book store, Fight or Flight, I'll throw their name out there. If you're in the Raleigh area for Fight or Flight Comics, fantastic group of folks there. He had been saving. Someone had donated to him maybe to put up in the store or whatever, but they were never going to use it. And it's like a flash, you know, those the wall things, the sticker, the big wall stickers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's like got a big one of the Flash running and a big one with the Flash symbol. And we were going to do his room just Spider-Man, but we may just do a whole superhero comic thing because he loves the Flash and he loves Spider-Man. So he's got some surprises coming for his birthday. And that one will be a surprise as well. But it's like, these are nice, some nice big stick-ems through the wall. So I was like, yeah, we're going to get this kid hooked nice and easy. And our kids already get books too. Like Evelyn's really, they have a really good kids section at our comic book store. So whether it's the graphic novels or even some of the, you know, Teen Titans Go or whatever, they have lots of good selection of comics for kids. So yeah, so they, our kids are in trouble. They are between that and their Shopkins addiction. God, that thing is the freaking worst.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Like basically it's teaching them how to be consumers by consuming.
Yeah.
It's very weird. It's very circular in the way it goes about. You're buying consumer items that are smaller versions of consumer items. So trying to collect them all. But I can't believe they're still around. They're still going. Like it's still a fad. It's been years.
Oh, has it really? I mean, yeah. I wouldn't have known, but I've seen the commercials when Remo's watching like Nickelodeon or whatever.
Yeah, because we had like, you know, Muscle Men or whatever.
Oh,
you know.
Man. Oh, thank you. Thank you for reminding me. I was going to ask Rocker about this. The Smurf things. Do you guys remember Astro Snicks?
Oh, the
you mean Snorks? Snorks?
No, no, Snorks were different. Astrosnakes was like McDonald's came out with these little like aliens, little Astrosnake thing. I think they're McDonald's. I only knew they came from Happy Meal.
Oh, Astronix.
I remember those.
They're like astronauts, but Astronix. They were called Snicks for short. And they were... Wait. Fictional characters created by the 1975 by the German company Bullyland.
Oh, holy cow. The only ones I'd ever seen were the ones that came from Happy Meal.
Oh, they're like little goblins.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I might...
So I was just wondering if the Smurfs were... Oh, actually, I see a picture on Google where there's some Smurfs. Well, I think maybe those are just Astrosnakes.
They're not the same because I think Astrosnakes were, well, Smurfs came before that and they were
French
artists.
Well, I've just made it the toys where what she was talking about was similar to the Astrosnakes.
Oh.
Like in, you know.
Size.
Yeah.
Size, color, variation. Yeah.
Man, I didn't realize there were so many of these.
I guess so. But yeah, like we had Musclemen, but like it wasn't something that was around, like you didn't go for years. It wasn't like Pokemon level, but these Shopkins, they've got some life in them.
Huh.
Like these are like Beanie Baby level kind of things. Like they'll probably die out at some point. I don't think they'll ever be worth anything, but yeah, like kids go gaga for them. Cause, and it's just basically little miniature plastic things of, you know, what we use as adults for real, you know, like, oh, here's a tiny blender. Enjoy with a face on it. But I don't know. That's the thing with the kids. So they're primed and ready to be collectors.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I have donated. Well, didn't donate, but I just bought two boxes of.
Oh, thank you. What'd you buy?
Two boxes of the Samoas.
Oh, those are good.
Those are my
Samoas,
favorite.
Thin Mints and peanut butter.
They're not
butter
Samoas.
Patties.
It's tricky.
Caramel Delights.
Caramel
Delights,
confused.
Depending on where you're from. Oh, yeah. What's your platform on caramel versus caramel?
Caramel.
And caramel.
And that's actually going to be a tomato level offense.
Oh,
so
oh
yeah.
I've always pronounced it caramel.
You better change.
You better. Hopefully, Rob doesn't become president.
Yeah, you got till.
I'm not
going to
pronounce
20th.
It as caramel. Caramel or caramel? What's caramel. The difference?
There's a big, what about aluminum or aluminium?
I'll tell you what, it should be aluminum, but
there's a
but. Should talk about this whenever we did the TV, but the Top Gear or the Grand Tour or Not Gear.
The Not Gear is, on Netflix, yes.
Yeah, it's on Prime.
Oh, that's right.
And,
yep.
Oh, man, I love that show so much.
Is it good?
Oh, my God. Those three are the absolute best. It's like you cannot find three better guys who know their shit about cars.
Is it basically just Top Gear, but without Stig?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they got a couple of Stig replacements, but...
It's not the same.
Yeah, so next season, they're getting rid of the tent, and all they're going to do are like those specials where... You know, like they go to like Vietnam and have to drive across the country and shit. So,
right, with like a $200 budget car or something.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that because those are the best episodes anyway.
And you know they're gonna make Hammond drive the car.
Oh yeah,
they make him do all the worst stuff, and it's like, hello, this man almost lost his life
twice.
Thank you.
Speaking of shows on the comeback. Have you guys watched any of the Mythbusters Jr.?
No.
They've got that now on, was it the Science Channel?
Yeah, I think
and,
so.
And it's a cute show. It's funny because what they do, because it's just, what's his name? Not Jamie, the other one.
Adam Savage.
Adam. It's just Adam and the kids. And they split up the kids into different groups and stuff. And so the experiments aren't nearly as dangerous, but what's cool is they do like flashbacks to what they did in that certain location or something similar they did in an experiment wise. And it's great. I mean, the kids dig it. They really enjoy it. So it's got that nice nostalgia to it. So yeah, that's another one you should be checking out if you get a chance.
Oh yeah. So that just goes back to, it's going to be pronounced aluminium.
Okay. Cause that's how they pronounce it.
Cause that's how they do it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. Plus, it is, you know, that's one of those ones that is spelled like it should be pronounced aluminium.
Yeah.
We just as Americans, we like to take that shortcut, not pronounce it all. So, well, I think we should probably wrap it up. That was a good, that's
yeah,
about a normal hour and a half, which is pretty, pretty darn good for us.
Yeah.
And yeah, I actually have sound effects for the end now. I don't know how we want to do them though. I mean, Kyle isn't here.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we should do something else, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm really good at the, hey, welcome to Big Dorgasm Podcast, but I'm terrible at closing Big Dorgasm Podcast.
Yeah.
I got nothing. Just not prepared.
You know, like something like, stay nerdy, friends. I don't know.
Yeah, that's terrible, too.
That's terrible. That's, Rocker?
You should be ashamed.
Any sign-offs?
I'm trying to come up with something. Give me a second. Hey.
It has to rhyme.
I know it has to rhyme.
Holy cow.
No.
No, I'm just looking at the, we went, wow, there's a 2-year hiatus.
Yeah, there was 2-year hiatus for certain.
Back when Kyle was in prison.
Yeah.
For ripping tags off a mattress.
Yeah, no, we had quite the hiatus there. That's why I was like, it was funny when I looked at the website. I'm like, whoa, when's the last time I updated this? It was like 2 to 3 years.
Like, damn. Well,
but yeah, before we end it, though, I should mention the site is completely refreshed. It's all slick and looking new. And,
oh, yeah, it is fancy.
It looks spiff.
Yeah, so every episode now has its own graphic, and we're now on TuneIn and Stitcher. And if you go to
Anchor is, and I was telling Crispy this before the show even started, that Anchor is not going to be
part of Spotify.
Is joining Spotify, which is awesome.
So that means, because we are on Anchor, hopefully we can get on Spotify. I did put in a request, but we're not on any of the regular podcast platforms like Podbean, because Rob is nice enough to host us with our own website. So that actually is a detriment, I guess, for Spotify. But yeah, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Android, we're on Google Podcasts, Stitcher. You can get the RSS feed, or you can just go to the website, dorkasm.net. And there's an audio player right there, and it's currently set up to play all of this season. So this will be up here within a week, and you get to all three of those episodes will be available in that player. You can even watch the stream. You could be watching the stream right now from the website on the live streams. And
what?
I know. Yeah. I've got it embedded in there. There's a whole thing there, and you can contact us
here.
Look at that.
Yeah. I don't know if the chat works or not. I don't think the chat works.
Crispy, you thought of everything.
I was working
for making chat work on the start.
It's a Twitch thing. They're jerks about it, I guess, now. It used to be a thing that worked, and now it's difficult to get to work. But yeah, and there's also ways you can support the podcast as well. If you go to Anchor and search for Dorkasm, the episodes are there. You know, just even watching them. I think this next episode, I'll put a special mid-roll in it there. So that'll help. All those costs will go to basically hosting the website for right now. Give Rob some recoupment from all these years for a 2-year hiatus of nothing of web hosting. He needs some help there. But you can also subscribe monthly if you like, and we'll shout you out on the podcast. So that's something you can do. I know. That's super fancy. We'll have our monthly supporters. So hopefully.
We'll have a monthly podcast.
A monthly podcast. Well, you know what? So far, close. We're getting there.
Yeah, we're working. We're trying.
We're trying. And then it'll be maybe every 3 weeks, you know? I'm not going to get too greedy. But
it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Or you can contact us through the website. You can leave us a voicemail through Anchor. Or what is it? podcast@dorkasm.net. You can send an email and I'll try and filter it through the tons of spam we've gotten all of a sudden. I think because the website's active, because it picked up, like, I had 200 something spam messages from just the past couple of weeks. So, woof. But definitely check us out. You know, tell your friends, tell your kids, tell the wife. I don't know.
Tell everybody.
Cause we're back and we mean business. We're doing it right. So
put it on Twitter, put it in your Discords,
put it in your
talk
ear.
About it on your Twitch channels. Do it.
Yes. wait, what was that again?
Just do it.
It's a trap.
Exactly.
All right, so now we have, what's our real outro though?
If you enjoyed this and you had a blast, all we ask is that you continue to join the Dorkgasm Podcast.
The Podcast.
Podcast. Oh my God. Can we do it? Can I redo that?
Well, nope. It's like-